I want to ask you, if you will, to turn your Bibles to Psalms 19. I won't read the whole Psalms, but I predominantly want to deal with verses 7 through 9 for our text today. The title of the lesson is Trustworthy Answers in Untrusting Times. Trustworthy Answers in Untrusting Times. We won't deal again with verses 7 through 9, but I want to read the whole psalm so that you'll get the setting of what David was speaking of. Psalms 19, beginning in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous together. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Again, the verses we want to concentrate is on verse 7 through 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So as we look at that, as I've been teaching the young men in our Bible study, we've been talking about the Word of God, and that certainly is a synopsis of what we've been talking about when we see the law, testimony, statutes, commandments, fear of the Lord, and the judgments, all referring to the Word of God. You know, just different names, different characteristics, I suppose we might call that, of the Word of God. And so it's needful that we concentrate and remember what the psalmist David is saying here, that we would concentrate and remember that the law is good, that the testimonies of God are for our good, the judgments, the commandments, all these things God has given us, not just because He's God and He can do that. That's reason enough. But they're for our benefit. They're for our good, our learning, our understanding. They're also for our comfort, because we live in times and in a world that life doesn't always make sense, does it? We think of Suzette and that fire, and that's still tender on our minds and our hearts. And we just wonder about that. God, you know, where are you? We ask questions like that. Why? God, why is one of the questions that we would ask at times like that. But just want you to understand this morning that God has answers, that God is a sovereign God. And when we're blessed to embrace that or to understand that God's ways are far above our ways. We may not understand all the circumstances about that, but we do understand that God is in control. And when we understand that, that ought to bring with it some peace and understanding. We're always going to have of those questions. Is there a God? When trying times come in our lives, people will ask, does he really love me? Does he really love other people? When something tragic comes in, why am I here? Why did this have to happen? All those questions are on our minds and our hearts. And we can look to the Word of God and pursue answers to those questions. And I think we'll find the majority of those there. Now, there's sometimes that we're not going to have every question answered. We're simply going to, by faith, believe that God is who He says He was and He is. And He's a sovereign God. He's a loving God. He's a God of the universe. And He's a God that the Bible says is intimately involved in our lives, in every aspect of our lives. And He's working His plan and His purpose out according to His will. And there's many things in that that we're not going to understand. We're just not going to get until that time that we're in His presence. And perhaps through the ages we'll begin to learn and understand more and more about the mighty purposes of God. So again, the title is Trustworthy Answers in Untrusting Times. We're living in a time of economical chaos right now. This is a time that if anything can get the attention of mankind, it's when they start grabbing right here. I keep my billfold on this side, I don't worry about it. Starts hitting that pocketbook. That'll grab everybody's attention. Not just somebody's attention. That'll grab everybody's attention. And I'm going to tell you, they're unsure times about finances. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. They've got a phenomenal job ahead of them. And I would say an impossible job. Because we've been a prosperous nation for a long, long time. And the old saying is, what goes up, what? Must come down. Eventually, it's got to come down. And that's the way economics have always been. We've just enjoyed an immense time of prosperity. Unfortunately, when people experience a long time of prosperity, it becomes a cursing to them rather than a blessing. We have a tendency to forget God. We have a tendency to forget where those blessings are coming from. And we simply look to the blessings and finally begin locking into those blessings as our comfort, as our assurance, as our hope. And we find out that they're not when times begin to get rough, when the economy begins to fail and to fall. But God's unchanging. Through all of that, God remains the same. He's today, yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it says about Him. And so there's a constant in God. And we learn that as we read God's Word. So when we come into difficult times, changing times, untrusting times, where do we need to go? We need to go back to the Word of God. We need to stay in the Word of God and understand what we can about the circumstances. Someone says, where do we go to get the answers to God? Get the answers to the questions. And some would say, well, go to the philosophers. They're the ones. They always have something wordy to say about it and some kind of comfort. They'll give you some kind of reason and they'll speculate about the meaning of life. They'll just give you all kind of words and, you know, sometimes it sounds pretty good. You listen to them, but it all comes to naught because it's not based on truth. It's based on speculation. It's based on what their reasoning factors has and what all's gone into that reasoning factor from their background. There's a man called Bertrand Russell who's supposed to have been this great premier philosopher of the 20th century. Listen to what it says him. A man totally opposed to Christianity admitted before he died that philosophy had availed him absolutely nothing. Now, what does that say about a man whose life's work is philosophy, something that he thought was the answer to what life was all about? And when he gets to the end of his road, he makes a statement like that, that philosophy is really nothing at all. That's sad that a man would come to that end, rejected Christianity, but yet died embracing what he thought was the answers to life. And he found out the answers he had was nothing at all. Very empty and very sad. And John MacArthur met a man, and this is a true story, and I just want to read this to you. He said, "I'll never forget a man I once met while hiking through the mountains of Northern California. He was a graduate of Boston University who lived in an overturned Frigidaire box by a stream. I saw him there and introduced myself. After describing his frustrating search for the meaning of life, he told me, 'I've escaped.'" And John MacArthur says, "Well, have you found the answers?" I asked. He said, "No," he replied, "but I put myself into a situation where I don't have to ask the questions." He just didn't ask the questions anymore. And unfortunately, that is the best that human wisdom can do. That's the very best it can do. And what is that? Like an ostrich sticking his head in the sand, isn't it? It thinks maybe if I don't ask questions, maybe if I don't think about it, everything will just kind of take care of itself. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. God has answers for us. He's given us this precious book. And we can read and meditate upon it day or night, anytime we want to. Anytime that troublesome times comes or things come that just really rock our world that we don't understand, we can run to the Word of God in prayer and asking, "God, I don't understand. I know in your Bible somewhere there's something that will give me comfort or some understanding. Guide me through your Holy Spirit. Give me that something so that I might have some peace of mind." God will surely answer those prayers with someone that's asking, seeking, and knocking. He encourages us to do that, doesn't he? To ask and seek and knock. And so that's what we ought to do. We live in a society where there's plenty of information, but there's no answers. Get on the internet, plenty of information on that. You know, there was a commercial one time, it's been a while back, the guy was on this fast speed internet, was just coming, and the man's sitting at his desk, and he's sitting there, his wife's in the kitchen, and he says, "Whoa, it's the end of it." And she said, "What is it?" She said, "I think I just got through the end of the internet." He thought he'd gone through all of it. He's saying how fast the information was. But he didn't. You know, he couldn't do that. There's information that abounds. But it doesn't avail us much at all. It helps us somewhat in the natural realm. But as far as the spiritual realm, it's not there. Of course, there are some sites that we could look at and do. But overall, I'm talking about the technology that man has come up with his wisdom and given unto us. There's no answers that will give us satisfaction. They're not lasting like the words and the answers that you'll find in this precious book. They'll give you the satisfaction because they're based on biblical truth, and that truth is based in and anchored in none other than God Himself. Amen. And so we find there the answers that we need. We only have to look and to search with a willing heart and an open mind to see and know and come to the place where we can find that peace that passes all understanding. There's a scripture there in 2 Timothy 3:7 when it's talking about not finding answers. There's some that were always looking. It said they were always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So there's some people that approach the scriptures with a wrong motive or with a wrong attitude, and they learn many things but they're not able to apply it knowledgeably. They never come to the knowledge or the full knowledge of what it means. And that's very sad, too. It said man has solved incredibly difficult problems in the fields of mathematics, astronomy, microbiology, and even space travel. But the true meaning of life stubbornly eludes those whose methods of pursuit are merely rational. They end up totally puzzled about life, death, God, man, sin, heaven, hell, love, joy, and even peace. No answers there except in God's Word. And the problem is that spiritual answers cannot be deduced by human reasoning. You know, we talked about that last week, 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for there is foolishness unto him, neither can he know them Because they are what? Spiritually discerned. There's a spiritual discernment that's going to bring with it that peace that passes all understanding. The answers that we so desperately need to know to give us that peace and that fulfillment that point us to a God that we can always trust in, irregardless of tragedy and difficult circumstances that we have to face. And God is a compassionate God. And He meets out that compassion as it's needed and as we seek after Him for those truths and for those answers. And so we find trustworthy answers from what? An unchanging God. Isn't it good to know as we look into the Word of God that we can begin reading, as Brother Lamar does, in the book of Genesis. And as we go on through and we can read all the way through the Old Testament, then we get into the New Testament, starting with Matthew, read all the way through Revelation, and something that we find an unchanging God. And then we find out something else, that He's intimately involved with us. He's not a God that's way over here somewhere, although our feelings may feel that He's way over there somewhere. Our faith says, no, He's not. He's a God that draws nigh unto me. He's a God that understands the weight of my heart. He's a God that understands this hurting, this wondering, this questioning. This is a God that made me and understands all about me. And when I began to think about that, then there's a comfort that comes with that. But because we know in time, as it pleases God, God will reveal as it seems good unto Him. God will use these tragic circumstances in ways that we could never, ever possibly imagine. You know yourself how you've tried to work situations out. And even in your prayers, you pray that God, if you just work it out just like this, everything will be all right. Now, we wouldn't dare phrase it like that, but we do pray that way sometimes. We're thinking that process through. We already really see the situation, and we feel like we know what's best for the individuals we're praying for that situation to be turned. And God doesn't do it to our satisfaction. He doesn't do it anything like we thought, but He does it. And when He does a thing, we stand in amazement because we would have never thought of that. Why is that? Because His ways are far above our ways, and it's not just about our situation, is it? It's about all the situations that are coming out from that. You know, we're all connected together, and God is looking at the big picture, and in looking at the big picture, He's working all the little bitty puzzle parts together according to His holy, righteous will. And in His goodness and His mercy, He's working those things out. So we thank God for that. We have the ability then to read the Word of God and begin to see glimmers of this. We see insights into God, though we'll never see Him in His fullness until we're there. And that's going to take eternity to be able to praise Him and learn about Him. I don't think we'll just come into all that knowledge at once. It just seems to me that would be an impossibility too. Might be that way, but it seems like to me we'll be ever learning about God. And ever praising Him and seeing these different facets that we've never even thought about God. And so in these finite bodies, we read the Word of God and we rejoice in the knowledge that He gives us and we operate on that. And that gives us hope for the future, doesn't it? It keeps us keeping on. It helps when we understand that as God's children, we're to persevere in grace. And so when we read about a great God who is in complete control, whether we understand the circumstances or not, we continue pressing on towards the mark of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we're able to do that by His mighty grace because He does understand us and because He loves us so. That's why the Bible is so important. That's why we can't do without reading the book every day. That's why we need to be in it every day, meditating upon its word day and night. If you don't do nothing but get a handful of scriptures, think about them day and night. Just lift them up to God. Say, God, show me all that I can learn in these passages of scripture, and you will be amazed at what God will do. And then as you get those opened up, it'll give you and a birth within you, a hungering, a thirsting like you've never had before, to want to know more about God's Word, because it's such a refreshment to you. It's such an encouragement to you. It has within it the answers that satisfy you like nothing else can satisfy you. The Bible tells us there that in some of the Old Testament, that you're not to look to the world, you're not to run to the chariots of men, you're not to run or lean upon the strength of the arm of the flesh, but to trust in the living God in all that we're to have. And so the Bible is that book that tells us to do that. And it tells us why to do that and how to do that. And it gives us a definition about why that's so important to do for us as His children. And so it gives us many answers. First, it gives us the answers we can't find on our own. You ever just try to solve it yourself? You ever try to go through a reasoning process and say, well, Lord, I think I can figure this out myself. Let me just think about this. If I just think about it a little bit, God gave me wisdom. Surely He wants me to just use that. And so we kind of disconnect for a little bit and we try to work it out ourselves. And it gets to be the biggest mess you ever seen when you try to do that. We're not to rely on our own strength. We did that before when we were dead in sin and we were on our way to hell. That way doesn't work. And so God would have us to rely on Him completely, trusting in His Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our strength, who is our mind, because the Bible says we that are born again have what? The mind of Christ. So that's what we're to use. We're connected to that. Secondly, it is God's Word to mankind, not just to His children. I want you to understand that. I had that perverted perspective one time that it was only to His children that the Word of God is written to, but it's written to all the world. You see? Because there's accountability in the Word of God. Again, talked to the young men this morning. So what I was saying, whether you want to believe it or not, is the words that are coming out of my mouth that are true, you are accountable for. You are accountable to go home and read the Scripture. You're accountable for knowing the Word of God yourself, not depending on Brother Joey to teach you every little instance of it, but you're to gain understanding through studying the Word yourself. There's accountability in that. The world is accountable. When they hear the gospel preached and they reject it, there's still accountability with that. The Bible says the Word is life unto life and death unto death. Those that receive life, that are born again, it's life to them. They understand what life is all about. What God designed life to be for His children. The others that reject it are doing nothing but heaping more condemnation and the wrath of God upon themselves because of rejecting life-changing and life-giving words. Death unto death. Already being dead in sin, they're heaping death on themselves. And so, it's for all men. It's for all mankind. And thirdly, Scripture is divinely revealed truth. You can't understand it any other way unless the Holy Spirit of God reveals that truth to you. Now, you may read it. You may be smart enough to be able to put things together. And you may be able to speak it. But I'm talking about really understanding it, being revealed to your heart of hearts. It can't happen unless the Holy Spirit is revealing that truth to you. Why? Because it's a spiritual message to a spiritual, alive people. It's to true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, Scripture's divinely revealed truth that fills the vacuum of spiritual ignorance in all of us. We are spiritually ignorant. We don't like to think of ourselves as being ignorant, but we are ignorant. And we need to be knowledgeable. God speaks of knowledge throughout the Word of God. And we're to be knowledgeable people. And so we come to Psalms 19 and it begins giving us some of these answers. I want to try to deal with three of them. I don't know whether I'll get that far or not, but we start with verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. There's no fallacy in that. It's perfect. Converting the soul. Converting the soul. So the first thing is there are perfect answers in the Word of God. Perfect answers in the Word of God. Verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Restoring the soul is another way of saying that. Perfect comes from Hebrew word that means comprehensive or complete. It's complete. In other words, the Bible contains all the truth that is necessary to transform and restore the human soul. Don't need nothing else. God said, don't need nothing else, just my word. That's how powerful the Word of God is. The Word is powerful, according to Hebrews. It says it's powerful. The Word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus says, concerning Himself and the Word, which is sometimes hard to separate, because He's the Word, He's speaking the Word, so we sometimes identify it all as the same. Ye shall know the truth, and what? The truth will make you free. There's a freedom in understanding the knowledge of God's Word. Of understanding those perfect answers, there's a freedom from the fear that was there previously. What runs it away? The truth of God's Word runs away fear every time. Fear being false evidence appearing real. Most of the time, sometimes it's a legitimate fear, but the great majority of the time, it's like worry. It doesn't come to nothing. It's just there, and Satan would use it, and the flesh caters to that because of its insufficiency. False evidence appearing real. How do we do away with that? Well, we do away with reading about the thing that gives us perfect answers, gives us complete answers so that we might be knowledgeable of what needs to take place. The Bible offers hope for those weighed down by a sense of their own failure. Because it is perfect truth, it can revive man's broken soul and offer a new life to those defeated by sin and failure. That's how powerful the Word of God is. Spoken Word. If you are apathetic, you ever been apathetic? I've been that way. It kind of passes, you kind of want to give up-ish. And apathetic, oh, it's just not worth it. Nobody changes. Nobody doing any good. You just get on this pity party, you know. You just love to just get on there and just hole up somewhere. If you're apathetic, Scripture will convict you of sin and show you your real needs. Next time you get apathetic, make yourself pick up the Word of God and begin reading it and see what wondrous things God has for you. Reminds you of what wondrous things God has done for you. He delivered us from a hell-deserving place. That's where I deserve to go. That's my justice. I deserve hell itself. But God in His mercy and grace has delivered me from hell. And so when I read the Word of God, I'm reminded of that. Seems like we would never forget that. But you know what? We have tendencies to forget. And being apathetic is certainly a very bad tendency. But when I read the Word of God, I'm encouraged. And it convicts me of sin because that's sinful, being apathetic. Being non-caring, being aloof, or whatever we want to call it. If you're apathetic, Scripture will convict you of sin and show you your real needs. It'll fix you. We'll go to the Word of God and it will renew you. And the next thing you'll be doing is repenting of your laxivity and your apathetic ways. If on the other hand you are crushed with emptiness, guilt, and anxiety, God's Word contains truth that can transform your soul with new life in Christ.
There's hope in the Word of God. What makes a difference between a Christian? I think one of the greatest differences is we, of all people, have hope. We have hope. And when people see that in you, they want that. There's a world full of people that are hopeless. They're doing all that they can, investing all that they can in things, and it's letting them down all the time, whether it's relationships, marriages, money, jobs. It leaves them flat-footed, and they're hopeless. But when they see something different in you, that which they pick up on is there's a hope that's real because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, whether you believe it or not, the world expects to see that from you as true believers. They expect that. They want to see that. Some of them never commit, but they want that so much in their lives. And they just don't quite know how to go about getting that. What a great opportunity for us, that's people and creatures full of hope, to share that hope with them. God's Word is life-changing. I wrote this down this morning. God's Word is life-changing, whether it is the initial means in saving your soul or continual knowledge conforming you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Either way, it's life-changing, isn't it? It continues to be life-changing. When I read a Scripture and it convicts me of my soul and changes me from a sin that maybe I've been in or a sin that I wasn't even aware of. Have you ever been convicted of sins you weren't even aware of? You weren't even aware you were doing them? You weren't really willfully doing them. You were just doing them out of habit. And then God's Word, we read it and it convicts us of that. We're delivered from that. That's life-changing. Why? Because now I'm conformed more to the image of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm now more enabled to serve the Spirit of the Lord with gladness. And in spirit and in truth, which is the only way that God can be worshipped. It's only acceptable worship is spirit and in truth. God will not accept any other kind of worship. He's plain about that. So we find that in the Word of God, we find those perfect answers. Secondly, there's certain answers. How many of you need certain answers in life? Well, I want to know there's a certain answer about life and death. I want to know there's a certain answer about eternity between heaven and hell. I want to know that there's a certain and right answer to who provides that, or if it's provided, and when it's provided, and how it's provided. Certain answers in the Word of God. Well, that certain answer to answer that question about our sins and eternity is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way. He makes that emphatic. He says, I am the door. The only way you get into heaven is to go through me. He said, many have tried other ways, but they're thieves and robbers. They come up other ways, but it will not work. The only way that you can come through me is I'm the door. I'm the opening into which you're going to find the fellowship that you desire to be with God in heaven and to have your sins forgiven. Jesus said, I am the only way. I'm the truth, the light. He said so many things that He is, that we can identify with when He says that. We understand what a door is. A door is an opening. That door swings back and forth. But that door, if we're going to get out of this building, we must what? Go through that door. And as we go through that door and another door, we're going to go outside. It's going to take us to another place, isn't it? That's what Jesus said. If you're going to heaven, you've got to come through me. If you want to go to that other place that's heaven itself, you must come to me. And that's a certain answer. But the Scriptures say here that we're looking at in verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Did you know you were simple? You are simple, and I am simple. But we can become wise. By what? The testimony being understanding that the testimony of the Lord is sure. That means that it's true, that it's steadfast. You can hang your hat on it, is what he's saying. Natural intelligence is at best a leap in the dark. Don't know where it's going. As good as it sounds, understand that. We live in a time where it's going to sound good. False prophecies, false prophets, some unintentional, some very intentional, drawing you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to sound good, going to sound great. We have all these fads that come up, all these books that are going to change the way the church is supposed to be. And I'm going to tell you, all that will come to naught. Because it's not based on truth. Based on some man's philosophy or some man's felt wisdom. But it's not based on the book of books. God has not changed the way we worship Him. He's told us in the Word of God how that we're to serve Him. That's not going to change. God's an unchanging God. And once He says a thing, it's going to be that way. Unless He said, I'm going to change. When He says a thing, it's going to remain the same. And so we must rely on that. And in that, we have those certain answers that we can rely on. God, You revealed in Your Word, I need to know about this particular situation, and God has written about that in His Word. You can rest on that. That's the way it's going to be. If God says a thing, that's the way it is. Even the most perceptive philosopher will tell you that there is no certainty in human wisdom. At his best, man is totally inadequate in the pursuit of truth. Quit trying to find out truth in and of yourself. You're not of the truth, so you cannot find the truth if you're still dead in your sins. But true believers, whole different story. Better story. I've got a better story to tell you than that. I remember a preacher telling a young lady that on her porch one time. Somebody told her she had to work her way to heaven, and she was just sobbing, just without hope. All of her hope had been diminished because God had been dealing with her, and He showed her that black heart, and she knew that she wasn't able to do not one of those things that they told her she needed to do to be saved, and that's to work her way. And the old boy, the country preacher, and he had a little twang to his voice. And he said, "Sister, I've got a better story to tell you than that." And he began to tell her about the grace of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how that you can't clean yourself up, that God will clean you up and set you on a solid rock. And He'll love you and receive you into His kingdom by faith. Turned out to be a great blessing to that dear sister. He told her those certain answers to certain truths that set her free. So it's not so with Scripture. God's Word is sure, certain, infallible, inerrant, and totally reliable in every sense. Believe that, brethren. If you don't believe another word I've said today, believe that. Believe that the Word of God is sure, it's certain, it's infallible. It's inerrant and it's totally reliable in every sense. In contrast to human wisdom, which is based on academic pursuit, the Bible can make a simple person wise. Whatever you need to know in life is covered in the Word of God. God has not left you defenseless. God knows better than anyone what you will face in life. Whether it's terrible tragedies, whether it's temptation and circumstances, whether it's failures in life, whatever it may be, whether you're going through feelings and difficulties and those kind of struggles, God knows all about it. And He's given us truths to combat everything. They're in His Word. Every answer you need, there's certain answers. Certain answers. Listen to what 2 Timothy 3 says, and we'll try to hurry along. I know it's getting late. 2 Timothy 3, I may have touched on these scriptures last week, but you can't wear the scriptures out. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of." Remember, he's warning them against those that were being deceived and those that were deceiving. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So there's a great blessing in the Word of God. Having a firm foundation, those of you who have been blessed to be raised in Christian homes and have had the Word of God taught to you continuously, whether you want to hear it or not, what a great blessing that is going to turn out to be in your life if you haven't already realized it yet. And listen to what he says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We could put a period there. And I say another word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You will profit by the Word of God in your life. And because it's been inspired by God. God overshadowed all the words in the Bible. As the men spoke, God spoke through them and they penned those words. They were God's words. And so when we read the Word of God, we're actually reading what God spoke to you and to me and to all throughout the ages. God's Word. But he says there's four things in particular it's good for. It's for, what does he say? It's for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, for every good work, for everything that God has called you to do, the Word of God will fit you for that in those four categories. Sometimes you need correction. Sometimes you need to be rebuked. Sometimes you need to be instructed. Sometimes you need to be reproofed. God does it all. Why does He do that? Because He loves those that He has chosen. He loves those that His affection is upon. He loves those whom Christ died for, whom He shed His precious blood for, and He will not leave you to yourself. Amen. In difficult times or in easy times, God is with you all the time. All the time. May not feel that way, but we don't live by feelings. We live by faith. We believe God. We believe God in the hurting time. We believe God in the difficult times. We believe God in the times where we can't figure the answers out. Nonetheless, we believe God's a benevolent, loving God that has our best interest at heart and He's working that out. As difficult as all those circumstances may be, God's working them out. Ultimately to His honor and to His glory. Ultimately to His honor and glory. And always to His honor and to His glory. Now I can't understand all that. I'll be the first to tell you I can't understand all that. But I knew what the Bible is clear on. That God is a sovereign God. That He's got a purpose. And He's going to put it all together. Perhaps one day we'll see. When we get to heaven, we look and say, that's why that tragedy had to happen. That's why this circumstance happened, because that circumstance needed to happen, and this one needed to happen, and this one needed to happen, and on and on and on and on. You see, we're not an island unto ourselves. Our lives touch other lives. Suzette's life touched our lives. And even in the tragedy of all that, we're all hurting from that, but we're all also learning from that. Because God has allowed her to be in our midst, and we think about that, and we pursue that. And we think. We ask the questions, why God? And why the answers? We want to know the answers to something. May not have all the answers to those, but we have some answers that we can rely on. The Bible has perfect answers, it has certain answers, and it also, thirdly, and we'll stop at this one, it has satisfying answers. Oh, I tell you, when I want to know something, I don't want to just kind of know in part. I want to be satisfied with what I know. I want to be satisfied that that's the truth of the Word. And that truth has that satisfying effect in our lives. Doesn't mean our understanding will follow that, but we'll be satisfied. There'll be a joy that's touched and a peace that's ignited because it's the truth of God's Word. And God's Word satisfies our souls because that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to do what food does to our human body. When I'm craving and when I'm hungry, I eat until I'm satisfied. And then it builds me up and it gives me the nutrients I need to live life in this human body. God's Word is much like that in that it satisfies the spiritual man in me that's hungering after some truth and after knowledge and after unanswered questions. We find as we look to the Word of God, we find satisfying answers from Almighty God. Satisfying answers, verse 8 says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing, not making the heart rejoice. Why? Because the precepts of the Lord are right on. They're right. They're good. They're holy, pure. They satisfy. Everyone wants a happy and contented life, don't they? Don't you want to be happy and contented? We'd love for it to be that way all the time. Even outwardly and in our emotions, we would want that to be so, but that's not a reality. But it is a reality when we look at the spiritual side of things and we begin to understand what that joy and peace is. It's not an outer circumstance that's going to give us that, is it? It's going to be an inwardness. It's going to be a satisfaction of what the Word of God does when it speaks to our hearts in knowing the God that we serve. It's going to be a satisfaction and when we rightly divide the Word of God and we begin understanding truth and we begin embracing that and walking that, we'll find a joy that passes all understanding. Because with that comes the knowledge that we're bringing honor and glory to the God who loved us with an everlasting love. Nothing that we could ever repay, but we are serving Him to the best of our abilities. Even in our sinfulness, you know, one has said, even when you're serving at your very best, you're still sprinkled with sin. But God doesn't look at that. He looks at Jesus in us. Thank God for that, the imputed righteousness of Christ. Satisfying answers. The problem is that people look for joy in all the wrong places. Real happiness cannot be found in pleasure and materialism. You can't find lasting joy in sinful self-gratification and the pursuit of money, sex, alcohol, and drugs. All these things lead to a dead end. And not only that, they lead to hell itself. I'll close with what John MacArthur said about this. God offers real satisfaction to people who obey His Word. He wants us to be happy. Too many people think of God as a joyless ogre who stamps out pleasure wherever He finds it. God does not look at mankind from heaven saying, there's one having fun, get him. He designed us so that the greatest possible joy comes as a fruit of our obedience to Him. Best of all, the gladness He gives is not the kind that ends when the party is over. It is a rich, deep joy that operates even in the midst of life's most difficult trials. No matter what pressures you may face in life, He will strengthen and guide you through His Word. His Word. Never get away from the Word. We can't get away from the Word. God uses that to strengthen, guide us, give us peace, hope, joy. All that we need to live life to its fullness. Even in the midst of heartache and sorrow. Even in the midst of difficulties, trials, and tribulations. God's Word will see us through. And David says this. The end results of being satisfied with the answers in God's Word is what David said, I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. You see, it reminds us that we're just not here forever. We're on a journey to somewhere else. And if we're true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that somewhere else is heaven itself. And that's exactly what David means when he said, I shall be satisfied, we might even say completely satisfied, when I awake in your likeness. How could David say that? He was a man after God's own heart. He had a hope. He was not hopeless. The Word, he says, was a great instrument in getting him to the place where he could say, I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. God bless us all to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us to know that we can say as David, if we're in Christ, if we're true believers in Him, that we will one day awake in His likeness. And we'll be satisfied. God bless us. God bless us and help us to understand that is my prayer for Christ's sake. Brother Lamar, would you come?